turn in your Bibles to a familiar passage, particularly for many of you who have been following this last series. We are going to read a little bit of that, but we're going to move on into another series. And the title of this series is How the Saints of God Should Pray. How the Saints, of God Should Pray, Part 1. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 480, since January the 20th, 2017. / Day 847 since January the 1st, 2016. The Bible reads in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. And as you know, if you have been following this last series titled How to Do Good Works or How to Do Good Deeds, with the focus on motives, you see here in this passage that we're reading today that Jesus Christ tells us how not to pray, and then he tells us how to pray. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, truly, I say unto you, they have their reward. And sometimes you're called upon to pray publicly, but you ought not to love that. In fact, you ought to not want to do that. But thou, when thou prayest, Jesus said, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which seeth, which is in secret rather, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Can somebody say amen to the word of God if you believe that? But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, Jesus told us, as the heathen do. You have seen them rocking back and forth, rocking, you know, saying the same thing over again, rubbing some beads, or rubbing some type of some little Lucky Charm mess. Now we got, you pray as you please. Now we got some Christians doing that. There was a Christian meeting, pardon me, called to prayer. I'm not mad at you, but prayer is not the sincerity of your prayer. Sincerity of your prayer is not proven by how much you rock and reel back and forth, or even how much you shout. You know, I noticed a couple of guys. They were leaders of the prayer meeting. They were rocking back and forth like this and praying. And I mean, this was a part of their prayer, you know, and so forth and so on. And so, well, I said, wow, I never seen that before. But, you know, you do as you please. If that's what you need to do, to pray, then you pray that way. Nobody's mad at you. But what Jesus is pointing out is we don't need to get into that kind of ritualistic saying the same thing over and over again and thinking that God's going to hear us. that way. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that, the heathen think, Jesus said, that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And that is not the case, people. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Yes, there are some things, if you read your Bible, that he does not want us to do like people who don't know him. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And here's where we start the new series today, by the grace of God. After this manner, therefore, Jesus said, pray ye. Now, Jesus is going to tell you, see, God is like that. The Lord Jesus Christ is like that. Jesus does not only tell us what not to do, he tells us what to do and how to do it. Don't do it like this, but do it like this. There's a very popular book out, series of books. Don't eat this, eat this. And it's good when people, when they write a book, they don't just write about what not to do, but what to do. I'm sure they get that idea from God. When Jesus Christ rebuked the church over in Revelation, he commended them for the good things they were doing, but then he rebuked them for the bad things they were doing. God is balanced. We have too many people today, even in the church, they're always about don't do, but they never tell anybody what to do or how to do or what you can do. But Jesus says here, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, read it with me, some of you know it by heart. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. To give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for what you have done already in this day. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering our prayers already today. Thank you for what you led me to do and what you led me to have others to do. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to accomplish those things. We individually confess our sins, failures, and faults unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive us. For Lord, we know that you will forgive us, but we cannot be in fellowship with you if we don't forgive others. Because forgiving others is the one of the proofs that you're in our hearts and lives, because that can't be done in the flesh to forgive other people like you forgive us. And we thank you for your forgiveness, and we thank you for your grace, which is an amazing thing that you allow us and help us to genuinely forgive others. And Lord, we pray that you would empty us of ourselves afresh and anew this afternoon, crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us all, and fill us all with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty. Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Bless and anoint and prosper the preaching of your Holy Word. Move upon the hearts of millions to hear your Holy Gospel and to be saved. We pray for millions of Christians to be revived and ushered back to their first love, you. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We are thankful to you for discernment, the ability to see through what the devil is doing and march forward and move on. And that's the only reason why you've given us the victory and the success, Lord, down through the years of getting things done and seeing souls saved and lives changed by the preaching of the gospel, by your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and those gifts and abilities and talents, such as discernment, so that we don't have to waste time dealing with foolishness and confusion, so that we can go right around that and keep on getting up, as we used to say, for the kingdom. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we see in this prayer that that is important to you. And that's what prayer is all about. Giving you the glory, the praise, and honor. And then asking for the things we need to lift up your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Robert Law said prayer is a mighty instrument, not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done in earth. Amen, somebody. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, this prayer is known familiarly as the Lord's Prayer, but the disciples' prayer would be a more accurate title. And that's why we're titling this message, How the Saints of God Should Pray. Or you say, preacher, oh, I came by today to get something profound, something dynamic, something new that I haven't heard before. And preacher, I already know the Lord's Prayer. I have news for you. That's a part of our sinful flesh, isn't it? We always want the next shiny thing. Our hearts and our souls and our spirits and our minds are never satisfied. Of course, the flesh is never satisfied. It's a part of our sinful nature to want some new thing, as they did in Athens. We're just like that, aren't we? But as one wise pastor said, and I want to give due credit, out of Houston, what is his name? Say it again. His name is what? Ralph West. Pastor Ralph West, he told his congregation one Sunday morning. He said, I know you want to hear something new, but much of the Christian life is just doing the same things over and over again, being faithful, praying, reading the Bible. There's really nothing exciting about it. Now, what makes it exciting is when it's mixed with faith in God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what makes it exciting to me all the time. Yes, even something as simple as the Lord's Prayer. A simple little 15-minute message on the Lord's Prayer can be a very scintillating and powerful time together. More so than any of the crazy shows that people watch on television today. Or even more exciting than the Black Panther. Every time. It is amazing how God does that. If you are in tune with God, if you are prayed up, if you're walking in the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, and not in the flesh, then you cannot be anything but excited about serving God. I feel sorry for these Christians, like the world, who always want something new. They always want something exciting. And I feel sorry for pastors and elders of churches and deacons. Always, you check it out for yourself. Always planning something new, something exciting, something fantastic to keep the people coming. Like it's the Church of Disneyland or something. A lot of the Christian life, as Pastor Ralph West said, is doing the same things, being obedient to God and being faithful in those things every day. Well, we say it often, don't we? You can't be on the mountaintop all of the time. We know it. Most of the time we're in the valley. That's where we do most of our growing, in the valley. Peace in the valley over me. Peace in the valley. You can have peace. You can have joy. You can have happiness. You can be content in the valley days of your life, and then really enjoy those mountaintop experiences. So get over that. Stop going to church for some new thing, some new singer, some new play, some new movie, some new meal. Got churches today that they try to do everything the world does. Every night there's something going on. And we wonder why the millennials have run off from the church. They have never been in church. They've been doing a bunch of other things. And this generation, I don't know what they're going to call the next generation. I have some names in mind. But this next generation is going to be worse off. But be that as it may, Jesus did not give this prayer to us to be memorized and recited a given number of times. Some people really do believe that if they quote this prayer word for word, that somehow, now God can hear and answer this prayer. He will do so if you're sincere. We pray it every now and then. But those who think that it's a secret formula will be deceived. They are deceived, rather. And they will be disappointed, is what I wanted to say. For those of you who are young, when you get older, there's things that you want to say, and then there are things that you say. Okay, so you'll find out about that later. In fact, Jesus gave this prayer to keep us from vain repetitions. He actually gave us this prayer in light of what he just said. Do not pray vain, do not use vain repetitions in your prayer. It's just a couple of verses up. And so here's, Jesus is saying, here's the solution to that. You don't need to do that. I'm going to give you a model on how to pray. Jesus did not say pray in these words. He said pray after this manner. Amen, somebody. Like this. That is, use this prayer, not the prayer, but this prayer as a pattern. Not as a substitute. Here's how you should pray. Here's how the saints ought to pray. Jesus taught as well. As we have seen, ladies and gentlemen, over the last few messages in this, in the previous series, Jesus gave his disciples instructions on how to pray. Now he is giving them an example, a model of how we should pray. Now you don't need to pray this prayer verbatim, but you need to pray a prayer based upon this foundation that Jesus has laid. Amen, somebody. He is showing them how to pray. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. The word manner means pattern or guide. In other words, a template, if you will. Jesus is laying out the framework, the foundation of prayer for the saints. Amen, somebody. Now, many of us, we went to church, we memorized the Lord's Prayer if we didn't memorize anything else, but nobody ever taught us anything about the Lord's Prayer. For some of you, this is the first time that you're hearing a biblical message on the Lord's Prayer and what it means. For years, thousands, yea, millions, no doubt, have prayed the Lord's Prayer thinking they have prayed and thinking that they have done something, and they have not done anything. Because Jesus did not give us this prayer to repeat. He gave us this prayer as a model to pray as the Holy Spirit leads us to pray, based upon his foundation that he laid. We can look at this prayer as a superstructure upon which we can build our own prayers led by the Holy Spirit of God. There is nothing wrong with praying this prayer by itself. We do it, as I told you, sometimes in our devotions, and I do it because I want to remind my family of the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer as a model. However, it was not intended to be a prayer that we recite ritualistically. It's just not. Nor is it intended to be the only prayer that we pray, because we got some folk like that. You know that's true. The only prayer they pray is the Lord's Prayer that they learn as a child, oftentimes with no meaning whatsoever. Now, the Lord will hear that prayer if your heart is in it and you mean what you're praying. But if you are just quoting something, you just from memory, from since you were a child, when Mother Breedlove had a stick and she told you to memorize it and hide it in your heart. No, they said learn it by heart. Back in the day, you in the black community, there was no memorization. You learned it by heart. And you have prayed that ever since. And that's all you pray. Some folk, grown folks, still pray the prayer, the other prayer that we learn. Lord, lay me down to sleep. Lord, my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, Lord, please take my soul, take, or something along those lines. Some of y'all still pray that. God bless you. Little ritualistic prayers don't mean anything. And what did our parents say, or our, at least our grandparents? Say your prayers now before you go to bed. Say your prayers. When it's said like that, that means it doesn't mean anything. Your prayers don't mean anything. Okay? You're just saying words. And Jesus, 2,000 years ago, being God, Emmanuel, God with us, he knew that people were going to do that, and he knew that Christians were going to see other religions doing ritualistic bowing and praying and rubbing beads and all that. And he said, no, I don't want you to do that. That's what the heathen do. Amen, somebody. That's what the heathen do. They do all kind of ritualistic stuff like that. Take a long time to do what they got to do. God, watch this. Let me help somebody. Let me help a church that likes to stay in church for 3 hours doing a whole bunch of ritualistic stuff. Let me tell you something. God does not want you to do that. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. I said it already before. The Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, the saints' prayer only takes a minute to pray. Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, said, "It seems to me that Christ gave the Lord's Prayer as a model whereby we are to fashion all our prayers. And I think we may use it to edification and with great sincerity and earnestness at certain times and at certain seasons." And he's right. Every now and then in your family devotions, I think it's just fine, just wonderful, to everybody together to pray the Lord's Prayer. It is a part of the Word of God. It is the Word of God that needs to be hidden in your heart as a framework from which to pray. At certain major events, such as a funeral for a pastor or a dignitary, I think it's fitting to repeat the prayer that the Lord gave us as a model, something that people are more, everybody's going to be familiar with. Even lost folk know about the Lord's Prayer, and many of them can say it better than the people in the church today, because they were taught that when they were younger. The first thing we notice, ladies and gentlemen, about this model prayer is its size or length and how short it is. Jesus did not give us a long prayer to pray, nor did he give us a series of statements to repeat over and over again. You can pray like this: "Holy Father God, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor for what you have already done for me. Please forgive me of my sins. Now, Lord, we don't have anything to eat today. Would you please bless us with the money to purchase some food? In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. You can pray that if you want. It's not the total, you're not hitting all of the points in this prayer, but God will hear that. He'll hear that, and he has heard it many times. Is a model prayer, and it means that you don't have to touch all of the points, but you need to know the points, and you need to pray in your own words based on the foundation prayer that Jesus gave. Notice with me, it only takes a minute to pray. Now, I had never heard that before. Until one day, I was teaching my family in devotions and sharing with my family in devotions, family devotions, how to pray without ceasing. And I said, look at this right here. I have discovered. Now, I'm sure I'm not the first one, but I said, I have discovered. I pray the Lord's Prayer with them, and I had a time piece. And it was less than 1 minute. I said, can anybody in here pray for 1 minute? Everybody raised their hand. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so I started them on their way to praying without ceasing. Every half hour, every hour. You ought to mention, you ought to do what one of the great monks talked about doing, a breath prayer. It only takes a minute to pray the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer. The length of this prayer is in keeping with Jesus' instructions in previous verses to not engage in vain repetition or mindless utterings in our prayers. God is not like that. Do you like the person who comes up to you to talk to you? And they're talking to you, but they're looking at the woman over your shoulder. They're looking at another great friend of theirs over your other shoulder. And they're still talking to you. Their eye, but their eyes are roving all over the place. I can't stand that. And we'll not tolerate that. And God can't stand it either. Your mind wondering on this and wondering on that. And he can see your mind. He knows what's in your mind. He doesn't like it. He wants you to be focused 100% on him. And because see, when you start saying the same things over and over again in the prayer, that means that there's one or two things. One, you're not paying attention. You're not focusing. And God does not want you to be that way with him. The other thing, you might need to go see a doctor, because one of the signs of repeating yourself is that you're losing your mind slowly but surely. You need to go see a doctor. When you start repeating yourself, that's a sign the doctors say something is wrong. Because it's basically saying you got a gap in your mind there somewhere where you're saying something, but you don't remember that you said it, and so you're saying it again. But that's just a little medical information for you. You need to go get yourself checked out. Brother Lawrence wrote about the value of praying short prayers. And one of the benefits to praying short prayers is that it keeps our minds from wandering to other topics. I have a second point here today. But I have been here today long enough with you. Just take that home with you. Start praying based upon the pattern that Jesus Christ gave us. And pray short, powerful prayers that mean something. And that God will hear. And that God will answer. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for what we call the Lord's Prayer, but what many believe should be called the Disciples' Prayer, whatever the case. Lord, we thank you for giving us that great motto. And forgive us of our sin of not praying according to that model. Thus, the reason why many of us need to pray it every now and then to be reminded of your model that you gave us of prayer on how we should pray. We do give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And we thank you for what you have already done for us. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, failures, and faults. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to pray throughout the remainder of this day without ceasing, and to pray according to how you taught us. Save those who are lost and revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then allow me to show you how you can put your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And hell is a sad place. Hell is a terrible place, and you should not want to go there. And so therefore I have some good news for you. The same Jesus Christ who preached on hell more than he did heaven, the same Jesus Christ who preached on hell more than he did, more than anybody else did in the Bible, said these loving words to you and to me: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, that if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you willing to trust Christ as your Savior? Contrary to what other people may have told you, it is not hard. It is not difficult. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. You don't have to join the church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to speak in tongues to get saved. You don't have to shout and run around the church to get saved. You don't have to do any of that. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as your Savior, and pray and ask him to save your soul, and leave the rest to him. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. You can pray on your own. You feel comfortable in doing that. I did not some 40 years ago. And so Michael Lewis prayed, led me in prayer. And I repeated that prayer, having faith in my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was gloriously saved. And he will gloriously save you today. So follow me in prayer. I mean it from your heart. And repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, including mine, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. He took my place. He was buried. And then on the third day he rose from the dead. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to repent of my sins past. And to turn from my evil ways. And to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, allow me to say congratulations to you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have other emails and other outlets and other places that you can contact us on our various sites and platforms. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is our prayer. Let's all stand.